I'm Josh Liston from On The Bubble Podcast, an oral history of television fandom, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow has entered through the front door.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other reporter for this episode number 238 of the Starling Tribune is Michelle.
Normally, I'm the one off by myself staring into nothing.
Well, technically, it wasn't staring off into nothing. There was that beautiful green screen that they had behind there. I know it was just green backlighting, but it looked like a green screen, didn't it?
Yes, it was a very pretty wall.
So if it was a green screen, you can transform it into anything.
Oh, like a beach in Hawaii or something like that?
Tahiti, you know, it's a magical place, anywhere like that. So I think he's not actually staring off into nothing. He's staring off into something. We just can't see it because it's a green screen.
Gotcha.
Okay. This podcast is recorded on Saturday, April 27th, 2019, live on www.geeks.live. Today, we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as news, interviews, and articles and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as other CW TV properties such as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Batwoman, and the rest of the DC Universe.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
GunnaGeek.com is a great home network to be a part of. But Michelle, thank you very much, and why don't we just delve into the episode?
Sure thing. This episode is called Spartan. It's Season 7, Episode 19. It aired Monday, April 22nd, 2019, directed by A.V. Ubayan. Credits include One Arrow, One Zoo, and One of the Walking Dead. Written by Benjamin Robb. Credits include Three Arrow, Two Flash, and Seven Warehouse 13. And Derek A. Hughes. Credits include Three Arrow, Two Flash, and Seven Warehouse 13.
Talked about it last week. I love anybody that's been a part of Warehouse 13 and Eureka. I mean, those were great. I'm trying to remember the other one, the one where it was all CGI and it was Sanctuary. They were all on Sci-Fi at the same time. So those are good shows to have been a part of. So we start off every week talking about the ratings of all the CW shows that have actually played this past week. We had all four shows in play starting on Sunday, the 21st of April, with Supergirl airing the 18th episode of the fourth season titled Crime and Punishment to a live rating of 0.99. Did not crack the 1.0 level, but I believe this is higher than they were the week before, right, Michelle?
Supergirl, I think, was a little bit higher last week.
Okay. So just a little under what they were last week. And then Monday, the 22nd of April, Legends of Tomorrow aired the 12th episode of the fourth season. Now, remember, they took a little bit of a hiatus, so they're behind all the other shows in terms of episode count. And the episode was titled The Eggplant, The Witch, and The Wardrobe to a live rating of 0.85. Following Legends of Tomorrow, slipping an hour in the time slot, we talked about that before. On the 22nd of April, Arrow aired this episode of Spartan to a live rating of 0.71. And then Tuesday, the 23rd of April, Flash aired the 19th episode of the fifth season. Remember, they're a week ahead because of the stupid State of the Union debacle earlier in the year, with the episode titled Snowpack to a live rating of 1.63. So Flash wins the ratings for the week. And it is looking like we're ramping up into the finals for all of the shows. So if you haven't caught up yet, now is a perfect time to catch up with these shows. And if you're waiting for them to be on Netflix, I wish you godspeed in your binging when they actually drop later in May or June. Generally, it's like just a week or two or maybe three after the season ends when they drop. So you can catch up later on this summer if you haven't already. Michelle, we're just going to dive right into the overall theme, and we link the overall theme to the title of the episode. In this particular case, it is titled Spartan. So we're talking about the 300?
No, we're not talking about pushing or, well, kicking anyone into a well. This is all about John Diggle's family, present and future. We have so much Diggle family drama. We learn that John has a stepdad who's played by the great Ernie Hudson, General Stuart, meaning John Diggle could have been John Stuart, which is yet another Green Lantern tease. And I don't know about USP, but I'm getting a little tired of all these Green Lantern teases.
I am too, because Green Lantern is my favorite DC character by far. I just can't wait to actually get a Green Lantern character either in the TV shows or on the big screen again. We'll see when that actually happens. Fun little note, by the way, there was a General Stuart in charge of the DIA just a few years ago. Right now, I did a Wikipedia and it's Lieutenant General Ashley right now, but just a few years ago, it was headed up by Lieutenant General Stuart, who was also a Marine.
Well, I had no idea. That's cool.
His first name, I believe, is Vincent, and the middle initial is R. So as they were going through the episode, they said Roy Stewart, right? So I'm like, huh, this could be it. But yes, I like the Green Lantern connection as well. It's pretty cool.
It's been like 7 years, and all of a sudden we're getting such a big reveal.
Well, keep in mind, right, that Arrow is going to be canceled. And Arrow is going to be canceled because Stephen Amell said, I can't do it anymore. Nobody can blame him. He's away from his wife, his kid, and they're in LA. He's filming up in Vancouver. There's no way they're going to move the sets from Vancouver to LA. Matter of fact, they did the reverse with Supergirl when it became part of CW. So just no way it's going to happen. I don't blame him. It's been a good 7 years. It's going to be a good 7.5 years because Beth Schwartz is still going to be a part of it. After that, right, after Crisis, I think the door is open for John Diggle to become the Green Arrow, at least on the CW TV shows.
So you're saying we're not going to have Arrow anymore. We're going to have a new show with Diggle and maybe some other characters?
I think the door is open for that possibility. I've seen no news reports for it. I have no in with CW. Beth Schwartz has not given me a phone call. By the way, Beth, call me. But we have no indication that this is going to happen, but they've laid the groundwork for it. So if CW decides to pick up another show, they can pick up the Green Lantern show on the CW. And this would be on the tail end of other shows possibly running their course, you know, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, who knows? And they could bring in new blood by doing that. And they're laying the groundwork that they could use the same character. Of course, they could just say, oh, you know, that was all teases and we're going to go forward with a new character and a new show. But this is a way that they could still keep using him in the universe. I guess it would be cool, right? That would be a cool spinoff to get after 7 years.
I like David Ramsey a lot. I would like to see him in more things. And if we can get a TV show starring him, him being a lead, he can be a lead. That would be amazing.
It would.
Well, we meet his stepfather because the Night Circle is after a thing, you know, information on a weapon, and they find like this Argus thing and it's encrypted and it's the DIA code. And so he tries to go and get information. He's General Stuart's like, well, that's classified and you're no longer with Argus. And then we also have the connection. Well, in order to find it, let's use Archer. Archer is back up and running. Felicity has it. Well, Elena has it up and running and it's on a tablet. And of course, this very dear, precious item, product, is just left on the table when they hear the alert for the intruder. That's seen, SP, where you have something that is possibly worth millions and millions of dollars. Your security is just as good as the bunker because there is an alert, but they just walk right on in. So they know they're coming, and then she just leaves it out there instead of, you know, it's on a tablet. grab the tablet.
Right. Okay, so we've discussed this a lot of times before about the security of the bunker, or Arrow Cave, as we like to call it on Starling Tribune. There is also very poor security over in Central City at the Collider. And I can't imagine the same people that put together those security packages could put together any additional security for the smoke technologies offices. I think the best place for this would have been Argus, except for Argus is not infallible. It can be broken in as well, but the security would have been a lot tighter there. Also, yes, just leaving the tablet on the desk is, that's not cool at all. The only thing that I could really think of is in between the two of them, there's one tablet, there's two people trying to operate it, and they've just lost control over when they're both in the office, like maybe somebody else has a tablet, and I don't have the tablet sort of thing. So that's the only excuse that I can come up with. I'm trying to give them an excuse, but if it was me, I would have a hand on that thing the entire time. I would have verbal cues, like co-pilots, right? On an airplane, you actually have to put your hands on the yoke, on the stick, and you wiggle it and you say, my plane, and the other person says, your plane. And that is how the transfer of control goes. With the tablet, you should probably do the same thing. My Archer. And then you agree, your Archer. And then you let go of it. And you don't just leave it sitting on a dang table. But that's just me of how I would do things.
Well, fortunately, the DIA comes in this time, not through the window. So sorry, window repair people, you don't get this job. But if you repair roofs,
I was thinking, you know, if I have the choice between getting infiltrated through a window or infiltrated through the ceiling, I'm going to choose a window, because the ceiling, like in an office building, you've got, I don't know, 4 or 6 inches of concrete, something like that, that you have to repair. That doesn't happen in a day. A new window, you can throw up a piece of plywood, keep that up there until you get the glass made and installed, and you're fine. I don't know. I don't like the coming down through the ceiling thing.
I know. And then if it rains and they have all that electronic equipment.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I guess you could put the same thing, like a piece of plywood floorboard down, but stuff's going to leak through. I don't know. I mean, out of the two, I take a window versus coming down through it. I was thinking about that. I was just thinking it was an office building and saying, I don't know if somebody could just breach that quickly through an office building.
I know. But hey, they charged in and they shot a bunch of people, but Virgil got the tablet. And they're using the tablet because it tracks DNA, and the information from Argus is a list of assets. And there's this big plan to get General Stuart out, which they do. Diggle and the general go to a safe house. There's like the fake information for one safe house that Oliver goes and it blows that up for that guy, that poor guy. And then Spartan and Stuart get taken. And first, I liked when Dante was torturing the general, and the general did the whole like rank serial number, because that's their training, correct?
Yeah, let me try to remember, for the Geneva Convention, it's rank, name, and serial number, or service number, I guess, in the old days, but I think it's your security number now.
And he was doing that, and of course, then he would take the counterprod and zap Diggle a couple of times, and then Stuart just gives up the code, and all I could hear in my head was our good friend Neil going, because plot.
Yeah, you don't get to be a 3 or 4 star general and just give up codes like that. Or you give up a fake one. That's what I was expecting. That Ernie Hudson, who's playing General Stuart, would have said, yeah, don't worry, they're not going to get anything out of that. Let's get out of here before they find out. You know, and if you're the interrogator and you get that information and you just leave the room, I mean, I would want to verify it before I left the room, personally. But I guess that's not how they roll within the Ninth Circle.
I thought it was fake, too. That's what I was expecting. But the whole shoelace cutting through plastic, That is true. If you do it correctly.
Yeah, if you do it correctly, you just have to apply enough pressure. And it does depend on what the shoelace is made out of as well. Because if you have, remember those old cotton shoelaces that we used to have in the 70s and the 80s? I don't think those would work too well because they would fray before they would get through.
And it was interesting him going, John, have you just forgotten everything I taught you?
They went through pains to explain from Diggle's point of view of everything that he and his brother had to do after Stuart came in to be their stepfather. And he was teaching them to survive and to be able to be adept on the combat field and stuff like that. So Diggle was trained to be a special operative from when he was, I want to say middle school would probably be an appropriate time. Just in the timeline of grand scheme of things. I don't think it was a grade school, although it could have been. And if it was grade school, it would have been during his later years, just by when his father did whatever. And Ernie Hudson just doesn't play a bad guy. So you knew that there was something off with this story sort of thing. And it was a little bit of a shock to learn later on through accessing General Stewart's files that they went into the operation. Diggle found out that his dad, or actually it was Felicity that figured out that Diggle's dad, his real dad, his bio dad, was culpable in the operation. And Stewart just didn't want that to happen to the boys. So it's very admirable of him. And I think that's true to Ernie Hudson's just character that we see eventually. And I'm glad they didn't break I mean, it's typecasting for Ernie, but I'm glad they didn't break that because I don't want to remember Ernie in that light.
I know. I really like that scene where he just said every boy should think his father's a hero.
Yes. Yes. Or parent. Parent is a hero. I think it was specifically father, but yeah, it could go either way.
Well, after they escape, of course, with help with Oliver, Renee, and Dinah just like blowing in and going, let's get you out of here. Eventually, we have the fight at the weapon depot because the Night Circle, of course, finds the weapon and they have to find Archer. So, of course, they have to plant boosters all over the place in order to boost the signal. And for an episode called Spartan, I mean, I understand like the main thing with the Night Circle and such. In that last fight, did you feel that Diggle was featured as prominently as he should have been?
Probably not. But in the grand scheme of things, he had just been captured. And it's hard for somebody that's been captured to go right back into the fight with the team, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I can kind of see that. But at the same time, I would have liked to have seen more Spartan in the Spartan, like actual Spartan, you know, with the helmet out there doing stuff and everything. But I don't know. Maybe they were saving up his fight choreography for an incoming episode because the season finale is coming shortly, right? And we are probably going to have some great big fights. I hope so anyway. I don't think this is going to end with a whimper. I think it's going to end with a bang.
We had a good fight between Oliver and Emiko. I love how Oliver just dispatches the four guys she's with. And then we have the arrow-arrow collision.
So he doesn't just dispatch the four people. He does it with two shots, right? Two arrows per shot. And he takes out the flanking to the left and to the right. And then it's just him and Emiko. And Emiko's like, okay, I'm going to shoot you. And we get the CGI arrows coming together and basically obliterating each other. That was an awesome sight. You would expect that from two expert archers. And we got them in this this one. It was just cool. And whenever I see something like that, I just have to remind myself that all the arrows on the show are CGI. There's no real arrows flying in the show. Not even with a, you know, rubber, you know, seal cup, you know, that sticks to glass and stuff like that. It's just a CGI arrow, but it's a cool effect because, you know, Oliver's on his game, you know, Emiko's been training and she's pretty good. So I will put this on, you know, Emiko was shooting for Oliver, center mass, I'm assuming, probably not a headshot, and Oliver was shooting for the arrow. So Oliver gets the real key here on aiming the arrow at the other arrow. But he was betting on Emiko being center mass on him. So it was It was a good shot. And it's, you know, from a theatrical standpoint, got the left guys going down, you got the right guys going down, and then boom, arrows in the middle. And then, okay, we're not going to do this with arrows. Let's fight.
And it was a good fight.
Was. Yeah, up until the time where the flash grenade goes off to separate Oliver from the scene, because we'll just call it a flash grenade. I mean, it could have been a concussive grenade, but it threw him backwards to the point where he was now separated from Emiko, and he could do nothing to Emiko. I mean, he couldn't get to her in time before Dante took her away.
Oliver did get a chance to tell Emiko that Dante killed her mother, which at first she didn't believe.
Try to remember that last conversation that went on between Emiko and Dante. What led Emiko to now believe Oliver, or did she just make the decision in her head and then she took down Dante?
I think she realized that it was a possibility, and then she shot Dante and it made him confess.
Yes. Okay. So she used the arrow shot as kind of a torture, an interrogation device or whatever, tell me the truth sort of thing. And then he started spilling it.
And it's very Ninth Circle from what we've learned from them. The Ninth Circle expects complete loyalty. We are your family. He said that her mother was making her weak. She did not like that. So, of course, she kills him.
I don't blame her. But at this point, she's a wild card because she's still got something against Oliver. And remember that whole episode that Daddy pushed her away basically and said, no, you can't have any of this. So she had tremendous animosity towards hatred, really, towards Oliver. And so I think there's still going to be a final battle coming. I don't think that's what I was saying before. I hope it doesn't go out with a whimper. Like they get together like brother and sister. Oh, okay. No, my bad. You know, no big deal. We'll just get on with things as normal. No, I think there's still going to be a clash between the two.
You mean you don't want them to take a weekend drive to Central City and have a cup of coffee at Jitters?
So when they're at Jitters, though, would they have a flash or would they have an excess?
I think Oliver would have a flash and Emiko would have an excess.
I think that would be appropriate. Yeah, but that drive's never going to happen.
No, because we want a really big fight.
We're going to get a really big fight. You know, Deathstroke was very capable. Ravager was very capable. We've had some really capable villains in this whole thing, but Emiko's probably the most dangerous.
And during the whole fight, Felicity realizes that they were actually able to lock her out of Archer. So she destroys Archer, but Elena copies the root code. You know, when they're back in the office, Felicity says, I don't want to do Archer anymore. I want to do something else because I can see the damage Archer can do. And Elena has the code. Do you think she steals it? And that is what becomes in the future. You know, Felicity says she recognizes it because it's hers. It doesn't mean that she actually gave it to the Glades.
Yeah, so we're only going to get this next couple of episodes with Felicity, and then she leaves the show. She'll probably be back for the finale, but she's going to leave the show. So I think that is exactly what happens, is that the code's stolen from her, so she goes in hiding and has her baby, because she's up against a time clock as well. None of the baby stuff was really mentioned in this episode, but she's up against that baby clock. And that she's trying to get as much done before she has the baby. And we know she goes into seclusion to have the baby because we've already seen that in 2040. So that's the episode name, Star City 2040. So I think that Elena, and I've alluded to this before, bringing Elena in is bringing a wild card in that is probably not going to end well because I don't fully trust Elena. I mean, they're good coders together, and if you push them on a specific project or a specific heist or something like that, they're great together. But if you put them together for a larger project like Archer, it's not going to work out between the two. And I will be surprised if we see Elena in the future, but she could be continuing to evolve Archer in the future as well. She could be behind the technology advances of Galaxy One. And that would be interesting because Felicity would meet her again for the first time, I guess, in years.
Yes, because she has a connection to Dr. Will Magnus, who was mentioned in this episode, who is working on AI and robotics. Because in the future, we actually see that there's even more of these soldiers with these archer helmets being made because Felicity has that helmet and Laurel's Cry really did a number on it and she needs a power thing. And Connor and Mia go to that market and we learn JJ and Connor have a very interesting relationship. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So we learn that they're brothers and we learn that they are not getting along as well as we might have hoped. I think that was kind of a surprise to Connor, though, but he said he hadn't seen JJ in a year and that he had become Deathstroke. He is Deathstroke. Is that right? JJ is? Yeah,
he's like in charge of the Deathstroke territory.
Yeah, but okay, so does that make him a Deathstroke or are we just using Deathstroke as the gang name?
It seems to be like the overall name of the gang organization, Deathstroke.
Okay. So I was calling JJ Deathstroke, but I guess that's not correct. Anyway, so JJ is now full villain. Connor is full law enforcement and vigilante. This is going to be interesting how it all pans out. You know, they're running away at the end because JJ has sent a message to Connor and allegedly that was going to be harm or death. And they get away before any of that is dispersed. They hide and they're able to get away. And the fact that they're able to get away tells me that it wasn't death that JJ was looking for, but I don't know. I mean, especially with things coming in the future, I think we're going to see some clashing here in the next couple of episodes, but this could be setting up next, you know, the 10 episode finale too in the future.
I think it's interesting. Connor talked about how JJ was clashing with their parents and expectations. And in the present, Diggle talks about how he clashed with Stuart over expectations and training.
If we would have had Sarah around, I think this all wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, they needed a sister.
Yep. And I blame Barry for all of that.
Yes, we need to blame Barry for a lot of things, especially what he's going through on The Flash. If you are not caught up on The Flash, then when you do, you will realize just how dumb Barry is being. Going back to this episode, SP, is there anything you would like to talk about?
I would like to talk about the fact that Virgil, who is played by Christopher Gerard, looks an awful lot like another actor that we know in the genre. Older, was just in Avengers Endgame this past weekend as the Red Skull. It's done The Matrix, Mr. Anderson. Do you see the visual similarities?
To Hugo Weaving?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He looks like Hugo Weaving, right? I mean, I saw him on the screen. I'm like, that's got to be Hugo Weaving's son, right? I have not seen any family information on any of his websites, IMDb, Wikipedia, or anything. But he looks like Hugo Weaving's son. Or a clone. Mini-me or something.
Well, maybe we get to see more of him in next week's episode, which is called Confessions. It's season 7, episode 20. It will air Monday, April 29th, 2019. When they learn of an upcoming attack on the city, Team Arrow calls Roy Harper to help them stop the Night Circle. However, things go awry and there is massive collateral damage. As captain of the SCPD, Dinah investigates what happened in an episode that takes on a true crime narrative and tone. Directed by Tara Millay, written by Onale Hunter and Amelia Ortega Aldridge.
Amelia Ortega Aldridge is correct. I'm grateful to see that name.
Me too.
Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with award-winning chief news anchor, Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
We'll have two items. First, there's a link to an interview with David Ramsey with CBR. The interview reflected on his character's journey in Spartan and why that arc resonated with him personally. David praised Ernie Hudson for his sincere performance as General Stuart, addressed that big wink to Green Lantern mythology, and teased Stuart's return down the line. He also dropped a big hint about Diggle's status in the 2040 timeline, revealed what he hopes to explore in the show's final season, addressed Emily Rickard's departure, and more. It's a very nice interview, and I thought I would share it with everyone.
David Ramsey, in everything that I've seen him in, interviews, panels, whatever, throughout the years, starting with the PaleoFest panel way back in 2014, he's just been a class act out there. He was just happy to be a part of this whole thing, right? And now he's just turned into such a... On and off screen, he is the moral compass, I think, of the show, and he's done a great job, and I just enjoy reading and seeing his interviews whenever I can.
And another piece of news, CW has finished renewing its last four scripted series. It's going to bring back a record 14 series next season. Pedowitz, who is the big kahuna, basically, at the CW, indicated that the renewal decisions were based on series multi-platform performance, as the network was one of the first to largely disregard overnight ratings. We talk about ratings every single episode, and one of the things that we do touch upon is that we do not know how many people watch it on the website or on the app or through Netflix.
It's an interesting conundrum, because I've heard that Netflix is going to start being a little bit more open with their ratings here too. So that'd be fun to see how they quantify ratings. If they do actually publish them, how do they quantify them? Like every 30 days, this series got X ratings and per episode, whatever. I mean, as podcasters, we go in depth in our analytics all the time, just because it's the only measure of performance that we have. I would assume that more in-depth analytics that I have as a podcaster is actually present with all these streaming services, whether it's Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, whatever it is. I think that they're seeing the value in those platforms a lot more than here. And here's where CW is ahead of everybody. And it's really scratching my head over why CW is the only one to embrace this philosophy, is they give everything away. Everything. It's just out there, the latest five episodes. Now, in Legends of Tomorrow, it's not entirely true. Because of the intense break, they did not give the last five episodes. They gave five episodes, but it wasn't necessarily the previous five episodes. So they're trying to do that as a trick to go make you go out and buy an episode, download an episode or two. And we experience that here on the Starling Tribune, because when we watch Legends Tomorrow, if I don't have it on the DVR, I have to go find it somewhere, and I'm not going to pirate it. I'm going to either get it for free as it's being given by the CW, or I'm going to pay for it somewhere. So for them to say that CW has now disregarded overnight ratings, we're just going to go with a multi-platform performance, that's saying that it is actually profitable for them to go ahead and do that. And they're making these shows based on that profit, because they're giving it, again, because they're giving it away for free. I think that's great. I think it's awesome. I think more networks that are over-the-air networks should, or cable networks, but not premium networks, should actually embrace this, because I think it's their way forward. CBS All Access, of course, it's the same company but as CW, but it irks me to no end. And yes, I've got a bone to grind with them because of Star Trek. But if they would have taken the CW mantra instead of the CBS All Access mantra, I wonder if they would have more viewership now than they have now. I don't know.
I know. I hear there's There's a show on CBS All Access called The Good Fight, and critics absolutely love it, but no one talks about it in general because you have to pay for CBS All Access, and I don't think as many people are subscribing to it as CBS wants you to think.
Yeah, I get that feeling as well. I think all of them would be in that same boat when it comes down to it. All of the networks that have their own. I think Disney Plus is going to really rake it in on the flip side of the coin, because Disney Plus has all the Star Wars stuff. They're going to have all the Marvel stuff, and they're going to have all the in-house Disney stuff along the way. So I think their $6.99, I believe, a month is a great price point, because you're going to get a lot of value for that little dollar. For CBS All Access, for me personally, I'm only watching it for one show, and that one show is not going to quantify the however much it's going to cost per month. If the series is ever available to buy on a season pass, and maybe it is now, and I just don't know, I'll go ahead and buy it on a season pass, but I'm not going to give you a monthly charge every month. And I'm not going to play the game of, okay, I'm going to do this service this month, this service this month, this service this month, where I pay a month on a service and then I cancel it, and then I go with another service for another month, cancel it, another service for another month and cancel it. It's a bad business model for some networks, and it's a good business model for other networks. And it just depends on the content that's available. I think most of what I've been seeing on TV, over the air TV or the cable channels, none of them really deserve the premium stuff, just because they can't get enough properties together in one place to make it worth it for me. And I don't know, maybe we'll have to have a Gonna Geek Network discussion on this sometime in the future.
Yes, but it's good to see that our analysis of ratings is correct, because we talk about that they do look at DVR and the app. So I like that. We know we got something right.
Woohoo! We got one right. Over 7 years of podcasting.
Well, that's all the news that I have this week.
All right. As I alluded to before, we are part of the GonnaGeek.com network, and there's a bunch of geeky shows over there, very similar to the Starlight Tribune. If you want to take a look at it, just keep in mind that we add shows all the time. We've got another one coming on soon, but we talked about it before. Don't forget, we have Play Comics. We have Just One More Fix, which is both gaming. One's a kind of a video game comic book show that's Play Comics. Just One More Fix is a tabletop gaming show. We've got The Intellectuals, and that's actual filmmakers out on the West Coast. And they interviewed Ernie Hudson, as a matter of fact. I think I mentioned that on the show a couple of weeks ago. So you can go get there. So there's a bunch of stuff on our network, and you can find it all at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. Thank you to everybody who has downloaded and listened to the show. We do appreciate you guys, and we appreciate you commenting on our show and interacting with us on Twitter. I'll be frank with you. Most of the time it is Michelle on our Twitter account, but she does a great job of not only live tweeting, but interacting with fans. So you can check that out at Starling Tribune on Twitter. If you happen to have an Amazon device, you can enable our podcast as a skill. And now we have a Discord server at GonnaGeek.com/Discord, where we have had a bunch of discussions, and there's a lot of Avengers Endgame discussions that are spoiler free happening right now. We do have a spoiler channel, but nobody is really spoiling anything, even in the spoiler free channel. It's awesome to see for this movie. And remember, you can always catch us live here on the Starling Tribune as we record at www.geeks.live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 Pacific on most Thursdays, just not this week because, well, Chris and I were at Avengers Endgame on opening night.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag mid-air arrow collision.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag hang on to your tablet. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.